My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire here, and thank you once again for joining me. If you have only just tuned into the program after a break of a few months, unfortunately, very sadly, that you will know that Gary Menzies, my co-host, is no longer with us. Gary died tragically just over a month ago. He was drowned off the coast of West Auckland at Kerikeri Beach. So I miss him incredibly. He was an extraordinary man, and I looked forward to our evening every Thursday night where we recorded the radio and had dinner afterwards, and it was just a great evening. So thank you once again for joining me. Now, I opened the program with that beautiful prayer from Fatima. It's called the Angel Prayer. Oh my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. Now, tomorrow, May the 13th, 100th anniversary since Our Lady appeared to the three children, Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta, at Fatima in Portugal. Now, today, in Portugal, in a few hours, Pope Francis is actually going to canonize Jacinta and Francisco, the two little seers. They died quite early on, and Lucia lived for many years after that. So, an extraordinary occasion, and you know that Gary and I always promoted Fatima. So, I want to just talk a little bit about these incredible children and why they were canonized. So I want to talk about the three apparitions of the angel prior in 1916. They were every couple of months and prior to Our Lady's apparitions. Now, the first time the angel appeared, he called himself the Angel of Peace. Later he said he was the Angel of Portugal, which I suspect he is the protector of Portugal. But in the Old Testament, the Angel of Peace was also Saint Michael, because he was the one who fought. He was obviously the one who brought about peace. So it possibly could have been Saint Michael. And in the first apparition, he taught the children that beautiful angel prayer, and he said that Our Lord and Our Lady had special designs on them, and they were listening to their supplication. And were the children wanting to offer up sacrifices? And yes, they were. A few months later, the angel appeared again, and the children were just playing. What are you doing? Pray, pray, pray. And he gave them another prayer, and he showed them how to pray. He knelt down, put his head to the ground, and prayed earnestly, or sometimes he prostrated himself completely on the ground. He appeared holding a chalice, and above the chalice was a host, and blood was dripping down from the host into the chalice. Then he suspended the chalice, he left it suspended in the air, He knelt down, prostrated himself, and the children did likewise. Afterwards, he gave the host to Lucia, because she had already made her first Holy Communion, and he gave the blood to Francisco and Jacinta. Now, after the three apparitions, the children said that they always felt quite exhausted. It was quite draining. It was they felt very emotional, and it never occurred to them to tell anyone. However, when Our Lady appeared to them on May the 13th, 1917, it was a different thing. They were filled with joy, even though they said that Our Lady never actually smiled, and often she looked quite sad. And when there was a flash of light, and they were looking after their sheep, and it was a blue sky, so they were a bit surprised, and they thought perhaps there was a storm coming, so they ran to get shelter. And then there was another flash of light, and then they saw this most beautiful woman. She was like all light, like crystal in a sparkling glass. She radiated. She was so beautiful. She was about 16 or 17, and she was just above a little holm oak tree, which is native of the area, about 3 meters above the ground, so quite small. And there was a little cloud covering her feet, and she was so beautiful. Now, Francisco didn't see her, and so when Lucia started talking to this apparition, he suggested throwing stones at it to make it go away. And so Lucia said, "Why can't Francisco see you?" And Our Lady said, "Tell him to pray the rosary." So after about 6 Hail Marys, Francisco too could see Our Lady. Though on every apparition, Francisco never heard a word that Our Lady said. Jacinta did. But she was the youngest, and she was quite shy, and so she let Lucia become the spokesperson for the group. So Lucia said, "Where are you from?" "I am from heaven." And so two young women had died recently, and so Lucia asked, "Are they in heaven?" And Our Lady said, "One is in heaven, and one will be in purgatory to the end of time." So this confirms the doctrine of purgatory, because the whole thing was confirmed with this great miracle of the sun 6 months later. So then Our Lady opened her hands, and a light shone forth, and it went right through to the children's soul, through to their heart, and it gave them a great love of God, and they could see themselves as if God could see them. So it was quite an extraordinary feeling. Now, that evening, Jacinta went home, and Lucia suspected that she would let out the secret. "No, no, I won't, I won't." But she kept saying, "Oh, what a pretty lady, what a pretty lady." And sure enough, when she got home, her parents were down at the markets. So when they came up the hill, Jacinta couldn't stop herself, and she jumped in her mother's arms, and she said, "I've seen Our Lady, I've seen Our Lady." Now, Te Mata, her father, one of the most upright men in the district, he didn't know what to think, but he knew that his children never lied. So right from the beginning, he believed. Wasn't quite sure, but he knew something was happening. So Lucia did not tell her mother. She was a little bit worried. And Our Lady had said to them, "Are you prepared to accept the sufferings that God has designed to send you?" And Lucia's suffering started that very next day, because her mother was very angry that she hadn't been told. She thought her daughter was lying, and she wanted her to tell everyone in the district that she had lied. And of course, how could she when she had seen Our Lady? Her mother took her to the priest, and the priest said, "After the next apparition, if she still persists in this, come back again and we'll have we'll work out what it is," because they weren't really sure. In fact, the priest at one stage thought there was something, but it could have been from the devil. So in June, it was the feast on the 13th of June of St. Anthony, which was a great fiesta in that region, and the children always used to love going to it. But no, they decided they weren't going to go to the feast. They were going to meet Our Lady in their special rendezvous. Now, Te Mātou and Olympia, the parents of Francisco and Jacinta, they didn't really know what to do, so they decided to go to the market. Lucia's parents didn't go, but 50 other people decided that there was enough in the apparition and they would go and join the children in June. So people said that they saw there was a flash of light, the top of the tree sort of spread out like an umbrella. There was a little cloud around it, and they could hear something like a buzzing of a bee in a tin can. So Lucia would speak, and then this busy, busy, busy noise would sort of reply to her. And then when Our Lady left, going towards the east, all of the leaves on the top of the tree went towards the east, and they stayed like that for many, many hours. So there was enough there for people to think, something's happening here. So Lucia was taken to see the priest, and he said that it could be the devil. And so, of course, she was very upset about this and decided she wouldn't go to the July apparition. And the younger children were very upset and said they weren't going to go on their own. So in the morning, Lucia had a change of heart. She rushed to her cousin's house, and they were crying and beside the bed kneeling and praying. And so, why aren't you at the apparition site? We didn't want to go without you. Okay, come on. And they all ran off. And this time there were 5,000 people. And so everyone had gone along to, a few weren't, but most were believers. So this time there was the light again. And Our Lady opened her hands, and it opened the earth. And the three children saw a vision of hell. And it was absolutely horrific. They saw people like cinders going up and down, being thrown around, shrieking, screaming. They saw terrible animal, demon-type figures, which were all black and burnt. And it was just absolutely a fire pit, and it was horrible. People heard Lucia cry out. And Our Lady said to them, "You have seen hell where poor sinners go because they have no one to pray for them." And she said, "I want to establish, or our Lord wants to establish in the world, devotion to my Immaculate Heart. And if people do what I ask, I also want the communion of reparation, and I want Russia to be consecrated to my Immaculate Heart. If people do this, and if Russia is consecrated, there will be peace. But if not, there will be an even greater war under Pope Pius." So there's another war coming. It'll be under the pontificate of Pope Pius the 11th. And so this is getting pretty precise about what's going to happen. The Holy Father will have he would be persecuted, countries would be annihilated, there would be famines. It was going to be a terrible time. And then in her memoir of 1944, Lucia added, "In Portugal, the dogma of the faith will always be retained in Portugal, etc." So the third part of the secret was not released, but Lucia did allude to it, that it possibly could have something to do with the doctrine of the faith. It would be retained in Portugal, but possibly not in other countries. So that was an interesting thing. So in August, the apostate Freemason Mayor of Orem, which was the neighbouring big sort of area, he demanded that the children appear before him, and he was trying to get the secret out of them. Only Lucia went. Te Mātou said that his children were far too young and he wasn't going to take them. And that was the 11th of August. On the 13th of August, the mayor turned up at their home and said, "He's like Thomas, he's a believer now, and he would like to take the children in his buggy." Well, Te Mātou suspected there was a bit of something going on here, and so he said no. And the mayor said, "Well, okay, I'll take the children or see the priest first. So that was all right. So took them to the priest. They got back into the buggy. And then the mayor raced off with them and kidnapped the children. And instead of letting them go to the cova, he took them back to Oram and put them in his house. When he couldn't get the third secret out of them, even with threats of boiling in oil, he put them in prison overnight. So very fascinating story. But when the children were released, a lady had actually gone there. And this time there were 15,000 people. A lady came, everyone saw a little cloud over the tree. The light of the day dimmed so much that people could see the stars. And as our lady left, there was a shower of white petals which dissolved before the ground. Rainbow colours went all over people and the ground. And also all of the leaves on the trees looked like flowers. So all of these amazing miracles were happening. Now, in September, Our Lady told the children that because they had been kidnapped, the miracle that was promised for October would not be so great. And just before the apparition, everyone saw there was 30,000 people, and they saw a golden globe come from the east, hover above the tree. 10 minutes later, this golden globe left. So everybody see the carriage that Our Lady arrived in. So come October the 13th, it was pouring and pouring. 70,000 people had trudged through the mud and arrived because they were going to see this great miracle. So they say that the water was up at least 3 inches deep everywhere. Most of the women didn't have shoes. They just walked bare feet everywhere, long skirts draping in the mud. And at the appointed time, the clouds separated. The sun, you could see it without being blinded. It turned into like a silver disc. And then suddenly it started spinning, and there were just rainbow colours shooting out in all direction, over all of the people, over the ground, like a Catherine wheel. And this went on 3 times. And then suddenly the sun just zigzagged and plummeted to the earth. Now, people were screaming. They thought this red flaming ball of fire was the end of the earth. There were people fell to their knees, crying out, confessing. Everyone there thought that was it. That was the end of the earth, or the end of the world. So it was quite a horrific experience. People in a 32-mile radius also saw this. Now, while that was happening, Lucia saw 3 montages. She saw St. Joseph holding Jesus on one side of the sun and Our Lady on the other. All the children saw that. Then only Lucia saw the next one, Our Lady of Dolores, Our Lady of Sorrow, and Our Lord as an adult. And then the final apparition was Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and she was holding out a scapular. So the point of that apparition, okay, the first part is the rain, non-stop rain. Suddenly, the clouds part, the rain stops, then you have a rainbow. Well, that is the image of Noah. And then you have a ball of fire comes down to the earth, and it's almost going to decimate everything in its path. And that is Sodom and Gomorrah. So our Lord said at the end of time, things would be like Noah, at the time of Noah and the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. So we all know what happened at those times. And we are awash in a similar way to that is. And there are sins that cry out to heaven for vengeance. And one of them is abortion. And the blood of the innocent children is crying out to heaven. And the main message of Fatima is hell is real. This ridiculous notion that we have a reasonable hope that all people have saved. No, we don't. It's not scriptural. It's nonsense. Hell is real. People go there, and it's for all eternity. How can we avoid it? One thing, Our Lady gave the communion of reparation. And what is that? It is a special devotion of five first Saturdays. On the first Saturday, you go to Mass, you make sure that you're in a state of grace, you've been to confession, you receive Holy Communion, you pray one mystery of the Rosary, you stay 15 minutes and keep Our Lady company, meditating on that mystery with the intention of making reparation for sins against her Immaculate Heart, and then you endeavour to do your daily duty well. Now, Our Lady promised that if people do that, that at the hour of death, she will provide them with enough graces for salvation. So what an incredible promise. This is final perseverance. At the hour of death, Our Lady promises to give enough grace for salvation. What an incredible promise. What an amazing mother we have. Now, we've gone over time, but it's a special day. It's a 100th anniversary. We certainly could not go past it without really showing the importance. It's an apocalyptic message. It's been 100 years. Have people done what Our Lady asked? I'm not so sure about that. So we'll have to see. Not too sure. So Divine Mercy, looking after pro-life causes, get out there. We're meant to be the salt of the earth and to help everyone around us.
The road is long, with a many winding tongue. Heaven.